everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular's single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody. And every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Hi, and welcome back to the Carol Markowitz Show. I saw this reel the other day. The account is at the Meadows fam. Let's play it.
I just saw something that was like, imagine being a man and you ask for toothpaste and then the next day it's just magically there. But then I was thinking, I'm like, well, imagine being a woman and every month our bills are just paid magically. Like people ask me and I'm like, I don't even know how much that was. Like my husband paid it. Or imagine being a woman and it snows like super hard and then you wake up in the morning and your driveway is just magically shoveled. Or, oh, a gas light comes into my car and the next day it's just magically filled. I love being a woman and I don't think we give enough credit to our man, so.
This is something I've said for so long. I don't understand how so many couples seemingly don't have a division of labor. Yes. When my husband needs toothpaste, it magically appears. And I'll be real with you, he almost never needs to ask me for it because that is just something I get done in our family. I like to take care of him. I like to notice when he needs something and then get it for him. He likes to do the same thing for me. But the complaint often is that husbands don't do the same for wives. And I find that just crazy. The buzzword of the moment is mental load. Like women take on a larger mental load than men. We have to think about all the things and we're constantly keeping track of everything. And it's not enough that men will do stuff when asked. They should be looking around and doing stuff on their own, which yes, they should. But when you have a clearer division of labor, this becomes less of an issue. Like the woman in the video, my husband handles most of our bills. For some reason, I do stuff like pay our pool guy or when we've had babysitters. That's in my column. I think I've only just this moment realized that I pay anyone who uses Venmo and he pays all the cash, check, and credit card using people. So there was another video recently of the football playing Kelce brothers, and Jason Kelce was wearing shorts on a red carpet because his wife was running late with his jeans. The unmarried brother, Travis Kelce, the one that's dating Taylor Swift, mocked him for it. Let's roll the clip.
Let's move on to some Kelce premiere.
Hey.
How was it, brother?
It was actually pretty cool. Really enjoyed it.
We had a picture of you on the green carpet, not the red carpet. You really got dressed up.
I was going to have jeans on, but Kylie.
Kylie what?
Kylie was running late. Ice came straight from football. Kylie was going to bring the jeans. Kylie was late.
Why didn't Jason bring jeans for Jason?
Because I was at football. And I needed the jeans for after football. And I'm not going to wear jeans all day. That's just not, doesn't sound fun. All right, I'm realizing now I probably can't blame Kylie for this. Anyways, so Yeah, I wore shorts and sandals.
She was too busy putting jeans on the three girls.
Yeah, she was too busy getting the entire family situated with the babysitter and then getting herself ready and making sure her parents are with her.
I can just see you pulling up. You don't have my jeans? I'm going to look like an idiot. Gosh.
So true. So true.
Women online swooned over Travis understanding that Kylie's mental load was already heavy. My take is that this is breakdown of responsibilities that is working for this couple. Could she have said, hey, Jason, bring your own jeans? And I'm sure he would have been fine with that. But maybe bringing his jeans after the game is in her department, and I bet she's completely okay with that. If my mental load is larger than my husband's, and I admit that it almost definitely is, it's because I choose to think about a lot of different things that don't necessarily need to be thought about, you know, as intensely as I do. I'm currently thinking about a trip we might take next December. It's January, so does that trip need to take up space in my brain now? It doesn't, but I like getting things done. I like daydreaming about trips. I like thinking about things that we're going to do. I like planning ahead for my kids. I enjoy all of that. And if I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't do it. My friend, the writer Kyle Smith, who has been on this show, once wrote something like, it's not how does she do it? It's why does she do it? You know, to the idea of like, how does she do it? The woman who's doing it all. Women tend to have higher standards than men about a lot of things. So it does often feel like we're increasing our own mental load. That's not a husband problem. That's an us problem. I know it's a me problem. I know that I think about too many things and put too many things on my plate and just enjoy the process of thinking over a lot of different things and what I need to do. But anyway, before you get married, have some conversations about expectations. Some couples will fall into a comfortable routine where the breakdown of who does what is obvious. Other couples will struggle with this and it will lead to resentment and women complaining about their mental load to their friends. Communication is the answer to so many problems, and talking about what you expect to have to handle and what your spouse will have to handle will lead to an easier relationship and a happier marriage. Coming up next, Dana Lash.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds.
If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
Hi, and welcome back to the Carol Markowitz Show on iHeartRadio. My guest today is nationally syndicated radio host, author, and Second Amendment advocate, Dana Lash. Hi, Dana. Thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, Carol. Thanks for having me.
So as my listeners know, this is a largely non-political show, but I have to start off with something somewhat political today. I need to say thank you to you, Dana, for all of your support for Israel and for American Jews in the last few months. It's really been a dark time. I try not to carry it over into the rest of my life too much, but it's been tough and you have made a bad time better. So I have to say thank you.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to hear that it helped. And I just can't stand to see cruelty. And I can't stand to see the way that it's been discussed nationally, the way it's been discussed internationally, and the way that you and so many others have been treated. I have so many friends who are Jewish, and I have some people married into my family who are even Jewish. And I get so angry when I see just that kind of that purposeful injustice, like a designed, purposeful, malicious intent injustice. And so I'm happy that it helps somewhat, me and my big giant mouth.
You've been just fantastic. And it's, I feel like so many people have been, you know, questionable, and you've been steadfast and amazing. And I just appreciate you so much. And I have to tell you that, you know, your name just gets mentioned a lot among like people who have been fantastic and that we really appreciate. So,
well, I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you.
The appreciation portion of this. I appreciate you also.
So I've been a big fan of yours for a long time. We only met for the first time last year. And I think, I mean, not to go
too
hard, but
I feel like I've known you so much longer than that.
I was going to say, I think it was an instant connection. And I have to say that when I bought my first gun last year, 2023, and then when I bought my second gun last year, I absolutely thought of you. Like, how do you feel being thought of as like, you know, the gun girl?
I love it, actually. I have people who work in politics and people who are, I know, that are consultants, and they always say, well, you want to be careful not to get pigeonholed to something, which I thought was really weird to say to me or to anybody else, because it's a right. I don't care if I'm pigeonholed for supporting a right. I love the fact that, you know, that I'm thought of when people think of exercising your rights and self-defense. And that means that I've done something right. It means that I've been effective, and I'm happy to see it, because it means that, you know, some of the hard things that I've been through in my life were worth it, because other people feel empowered and confident, and they feel free to go out and do what they need to do to protect themselves and their families and enjoy it and be public about it. And so that brings me a lot of just pure joy knowing that. So I love it.
This was the year last year, again, was the year that I took it from, I've always been a Second Amendment advocate. I always supported the Second Amendment. I just never actually exercised that right. So it really was kind of a big step for me to go from just philosophically supporting gun rights to, you know, owning guns at home myself. And you really were such an inspiration with that. I think that that's, you know, the right way to think about it. You're supporting a right. And why should you, you know, not, why shouldn't you focus on that? Why should it be something that isn't, you know, part of what you speak out on? And I quite like that.
Yeah, especially when it's so germane to everything that's happening right now, particularly with crime rates. And then, good heavens, you know, attacks against Jewish Americans just the stuff that we've seen as of late. I mean, we just saw people blocking highways and all of that stuff. And we had the 2 years now of the BLM riots and everything else. And we have these activist prosecutors and people who are just lawless that are encouraged to continue to be lawless because of this quote unquote restorative justice. So people see that, and it's no wonder that they want to feel secure. It's crazy that it's, you know, here in 2024, we would have to convince anyone in the United States of America to just, you know, make sure that you're secure and that your family's secure. And by the way, you have the right to do that and the freedom to do that. That should be something that's intrinsically known, not something that people have to be persuaded over.
Yeah.
So I completely agree with you on that. And I think there's going to be more and more people that are sort of led to that and see that, especially, depending on how everything happens after November.
Absolutely. Do you get recognized a lot? Like, do you live a very public life?
Not, I mean, yes and no. I mean, I've never, I was thinking about something the other day, and it's like this meme, I guess, that's online where, you know, everyone was taught to stop, drop, and roll. I'm going to bring this tugboat to shore. It's going to make sense. And I always thought, you know, I'm going to be on fire a lot when I'm an adult. So we really have to practice the stop, drop, and roll. And I always thought, you know, because that I would be, especially after my advocacy and stuff to went to a national level, I guess I always thought that any kind of recognition in public that I would meet would be hateful. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I've never had like a one-on-one or, you know, even a small group experience in public where anybody has been hateful. Everybody's been very kind. And you know, it happens every now and again, especially in Texas. And I live in a very, very conservative area. So it happens probably more here than it would anywhere else. But everybody's been really cool. And it, you know, it happens. People are usually just, you know, oh, thanks. You know, whether it's for the town hall or the work or making, you know, talking about a policy or explaining a legislative proposal. People are just, you know, they're like, oh, thank you. And I mean, it's, you know, it's not why I do it. But it's, you know, it's nice. And it makes sometimes when, you know, you're in the fight and you're in the thick of it, it's those things that you kind of reflect on that sort of, you know, light the way forward a little bit. So it's nice.
Right. So when we first met, this last year, it was also the first time that I met your husband. And I think you guys are just such a adorable couple. Mm-hmm. And you seem like very well suited and just,
oh my God.
Have it going on. How long are you guys together?
23 years.
Wow.
We've been married for 23 years. We actually got engaged after knowing each other for 3 months.
Wow.
It was a little crazy. And our family was like, his family was very excited. He's almost 8 years older than I am. And I've always been kind of an old soul, but I also was, you know, when I was growing up, I was a little bit different from the way I am now with some of my ideological outlooks, but I'd only been raised one particular way by one typical type of people. And so I had, you know, views on women and marriage and everything else, but, you know, God love him because he is honestly the only man who could put up with me. I am all over the place all the time. I can't sit still. I always have to be doing something. Mm-hmm. I am not the person who just finds it easy to relax. Like if I have time off or if I'm on vacation, I still find the need to do stuff. I mean, I started to crochet during lockdown because I could not stand to sit still for so long.
Wow.
And then when that wasn't enough, I'm like, I'm going to learn how to needlepoint because I clearly need more things to do. I love being busy. And I think that would aggravate the living will out of most people. And he just rolls with it. He just is like, whatever, she's doing her thing. And God love him. He's the only person. He was made for me. He was absolutely made for me.
So what views of yours on women have changed?
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, naturally growing up being in a family of Southern Democrats in Southern Missouri, I was raised to be a Democrat like everybody else in my family. I did not meet a Republican, hands to sky, until college.
Wow.
I did not meet a Republican until I was a freshman in college. It was the first time I ever met anyone who's a Republican, anybody who was not like me. All my family were very far left. And they mostly still are. They're very far left. And I just thought, well, I'm a feminist naturally, because that's everything that I've been told.
Right.
I didn't even know the difference between first, second, and third wave. I was just told feminist. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I am one. And then, you know, growing up and you're watching MTV and VH1 and everything else, it's like just shoved in your face. And that's, you know, my generation, I'm kind of on the younger end of Gen X. That's everything that we consume, music, you know, MTV, back when they played music videos. That's all we had. And pop culture, movies, entertainment, everything, that was the narrative that was shoved in your face. If you're a young woman, this is how you identify. And so I just adopted it because I didn't know anything better. And then the older I got, the more open-minded I became. And my family said that I went to the big city and got brainwashed, which I thought was funny.
So funny.
That happens in reverse, right?
Yeah.
It happens the other way. So I ended up disagreeing with a lot of positions that I had inherited and thought were my own and weren't actually my own. And then when I began questioning, you know, those inherited positions, that was not good. And so now here we are. But yeah, that's changed a lot. That was one of the biggest ones that changed.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back on the Carol Markowitz Show. Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the wind down tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
It's interesting you mentioned like the MTV era. There was a magazine called Sassy. I don't know if you remember this.
Oh,
it was
my gosh. Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, I loved Sassy. Like I would wait at the like newsstand for the day that it would come out. I didn't know about subscribing. That was too complicated for me.
No, I get it at the store.
Yeah, but so it's funny because when I tell people that I read Sassy, they were like, oh, and how did you end up conservative? Like that was such a liberal magazine. And I was like, that magazine was very much like be who you are, believe what you want, you know, it just is very different than what alternative kind of magazines would be like today, which I think would push a very leftist perspective. But back then it was like, be yourself was the coolest, you know, way to be. Myself was conservative. So I, you know, even when MTV was like, you know, rocking the vote, I was like, I will rock the vote. I will vote for, you know, George Bush.
Well, and I'm so glad that you brought that up because back then, and I remember that was like their whole vibe. And with MTV back then, even, I mean, my gosh, Kennedy, who I think we both know when she was a VJ,
she was on the show.
A weird Republican quail supporter.
Oh, I know.
I didn't know anybody under 50 who liked Dan Quayle. And there was the, you know, younger woman on television who liked Dan Quayle. And I'm like, that's, I had not had that in any type of representation, but it was cool to have weird Republican friends.
Right.
That was part of the whole alternative thing. Like cool to have a weird Republican friend, right? Yeah. This is my Republican friend. And it just, I don't know, like there was some sort of something that you got from that, some cred that you got from that. Now it's like, oh my gosh, you have a friend who's a Republican. That's a betrayal.
Right. I mean, if you had like a, a mainstream famous friend, like they would have to keep you hidden. Like, I mean, I know that that's the case. I mean, I, you know, somebody like Ann Coulter, for example, has told me, you know, about kind of mainstream famous people that she's friends with who they cannot be openly friends. And it's, you know, it's no longer cool to know people or be friends with people who have different perspectives. It's become, you know, you have to walk that very thin line and you have to stay with the group at all times. It's kind of sad. I feel like we had a nice time in our youth where it was okay to be different. And now it's very much not.
That was the true counterculture. And now it's all boring. Now it's so boring. And conversations are boring. And that makes everything that we talk about boring and entertainment boring because there isn't a contrast of ideas. I mean, there aren't even any actual debate shows anymore. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite shows ever was Tough Crowd with Colin Quinn.
I
loved that show. Colin Quinn was hysterical and he would have people on that show that were infuriatingly wrong, mm-hmm. but they were hysterical and they all got along afterwards because nobody took it personally. Everyone's like, oh, we disagreed and we're going to bust up and now we're all good. You're right. We had it so good. The younger generations won't even know what they missed. It's so sad.
We did. Yeah, that's definitely true. So you have this great marriage. You have an outstanding radio show, super popular, best-selling books. Do you feel like you've made it?
I actually judge whether or not I've made it by whether or not I lived up to what I wrote in my senior high school memory book.
Ooh, and
I
know that's sad.
You know, everybody has like the scrapbooks, everybody signs it. Mm-hmm. And the girls' books were like, you couldn't even close them. And the boys, they didn't even open them. They just would put them in a package for their senior package and they never did anything with them. But in mine, I wanted to be an author and I wanted to drive a Jeep and I wanted to live in the mountains in Colorado and I wanted to be married and have kids. That's what I wanted.
Wow.
That's what I listed. So I ended up at one point, I had a Jeep. I couldn't live in the mountains because I get altitude sickness, but I do enjoy going there, which was really sad. I was like, oh, I guess I got to check that off my book. But that's how married and have kids. And I feel like that is how I made it. I feel like I accomplished those things and I feel content. I mean, I do feel content with what I do.
Yeah.
I'm not in need of really, I don't really need to do anything more. It's just driven by my absolute inability to just not do anything. And I love what I do. I love, you know, talking to people like you and your awesome podcast and your cool audience. And, you know, I love reading your stuff, by the way. Carol's,
Thank you, Dana.
A badass in her own right. I love doing it. And I think that is, I love what I do. So I feel like because of that alone, I do. I feel completely content and that's how I measure it.
It's so good. I love that. What would you say is our biggest cultural or societal problem in America? And do you think it's solvable?
I do. But whether or not I do think it's solvable, I don't think it's a question of whether or not it can be solved. I think it's a question of whether or not people have the will to solve it, whether or not they have the interest to solve it. And there's so many things wrong with our society. But I think the first thing is that people are focused too much on self and not focused on others. I think everyone, I get it. It's like a dog eat dog world. And it's just like everything that we're in an influencer society where literally everyone's a brand, which sounds just like a walking nightmare. But that's, you know, the society in which we live in. You're being sold something all the time, 24/7. I remember we used to joke just like looking on Instagram and seeing pictures of people's sandwiches. And we all thought that was annoying. I long for those days. Like bring back the sandwiches.
Yeah.
I love that. That was when it was so innocent. But everyone is so navel-gazing, I think, that we're not seeing the bigger picture of what's happening everywhere else. We're focused on what's happening in our lives and in our communities, which I think that you have to appreciate the relationship that it has with the whole. We're focused on just one party or just one political idea or just one this or one that. And I think that's a huge problem because when you get self out of the way and you put others first, that really dramatically changes society. But that's not at all what society right now is constructed to encourage, from marketing to entertainment to everything. So I think just at its most basic level, I think, you know, too much focus on self is really kind of what's one of the biggest problems. And everybody needs God. That's the other.
Yeah.
But it is an issue of willpower because I think there's just too much incentive to change or to not change rather.
So how do we overcome it? What do you think? I mean, it's very hard to get the people to no longer see themselves as a brand. I mean, it's funny because, you know, we're public people. I think, like, you know, just living our lives the way we do. There's some consideration for, you know, I hate to think of myself as a brand. I hate that kind of thinking at all. But I see people who, like, have, you know, 150 followers on Instagram treat themselves like a brand. And I get that they want to grow and et cetera, but it just, why would you go that path if you didn't have to? Like, I feel like if I didn't need to be on social media for my job, I don't know that I would do it.
Yeah. I can't stand being on Instagram. I love looking at other people's stuff.
It's sort of my favorite one.
I hate it. I don't even enjoy X, I guess. I mean, I enjoy it because I get a lot of my news from that. I don't know. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older or what it is, but I think my consumption is changing where I don't want to consume any of it.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's what I mean. I think that if I didn't have to be on, but Twitter is definitely my most love hate. Like when I need a internet break, like I take Twitter off my phone because I can't control myself.
You
I'm constantly
take it off your phone.
Especially when I go on vacation, it's now standard where I take it off my phone. And I have to tell you how many times I click the empty space, like just automatically, like click where the app used to be. It's really
you
kind
are
of sad.
Really driven. I've never done that.
Uh-huh. No, you That's have to perfect. Sometimes. You have to like disconnect and really like not get the news. Like I was off in December and I basically missed the Nikki Haley slavery story. And it was just coming back to it. And I was like, what? Yeah. Nikki Haley thinks slavery wasn't part of the Civil War. Like I was like, you know what? I'm not even going to catch up on it. Like it's over. Yeah. Whatever it was, it's done now.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, to your question, I think the biggest issue, really is, you know, people not putting others first and putting themselves first and being so hyper-focused on themselves. And it is so reflected digitally. It is so reflected with, especially the way our kids are influenced and all of the, you know, the social media appetites that the youth has. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like there's a huge set of problems that the youth have nowadays that I don't think would exist were it not for the oversaturation of social media, everything, because you're in constant comparison. Mm-hmm. You're comparing yourselves with other people and focusing on what everybody else has and what everybody else is doing as a way of, you know, trying to promote yourself and push yourself and it drives insecurity. I think it drives a lot of stuff. I could talk about this a million different like routes forever on it. There's so many different things that are related to it, but ultimately, you know, the biggest problem I think is just people being self-centered, selfish and self-centered and not focusing on others first. And I think nobody, not even myself, are completely innocent people. We are all, we are all culpable in this to some extent, some, you know, more than others, but, you know, by and large, we're all guilty of it. And, it takes a choice, a purposeful choice and will to actively put others first. And that goes into even saying, you know, like what people are like, what you're thinking and what I'm thinking the commentary that I started out in when I was, I mean, gosh, I've been doing this since I was in my 20s. And when I first started in commentary, I've always been kind of a loud mouth and I come by it honest because all the women in my family are very similar. We all are. But I did not care how it affected and who it affected. Mm-hmm. I didn't care how it affected how someone else might perceive themselves or others. I did not care about, and I still facts don't care about feelings. Everybody knows that.
Right.
But if I wanted to just be mean, I would just be mean, even if it was just a way to prove a point.
Yeah.
And I took great, you know, satisfaction in that. And with age comes wisdom. And then I look back and I'm like, well, if this is about persuasion and I'm not persuading people, and if what I'm saying is actually turning them away, then have I not just become my biggest opponent? Like, how stupid am I that I'm actually shooting myself rhetorically in the foot and I'm driving people away? Now, there's a time. And Roadhouse is a great cinematic masterpiece. And there's an amazing scene in Roadhouse where Patrick Swayze is saying there's a time to be nice and there's a time to not be nice. Mm-hmm. And they have a great exchange there. That still holds true. But I think that there's a lot of nuance there. Being mean or trying to own someone for the sake of doing it, what is the purpose if you're not trying to persuade someone? It's not like, you know, we're not supposed to be in this giant digital phallus measuring contest. I mean, if you're trying to persuade someone, then persuade them. But if you're trying to turn them away, well, then aren't you just aiding the people that you're they're claiming to oppose and fight against, it doesn't make any sense. So that is, even in the way that we speak to others and about others, I think also plays into that. And, yeah. I've been humbled with that before. I'm not going to lie about it. I've been humbled by my own words before. Right. They have come back to bite me. And like I said, you know, with age comes wisdom. And I definitely see the weight and importance of that now, and how that goes into, you know, like I just said, our greatest issue.
Right. Absolutely. I think, I mean, just the growth that has to happen where you, you know, view things that you, the way you used to handle things. The way I know the way I used to talk on like my blog originally, when I first started out, I would just be so sarcastic and kind of, you know, biting. That was the time. It was sort of what made people popular, but it is cringeworthy, definitely.
And it's still, I mean, and we're still, it's not to say not to be honest, but I think that there's,
sure,
what is the purpose, and always asking, you know, what is the purpose of, you know, the way that we're messaging stuff. And, mm-hmm. and, it's really hard, especially now, because in commentary, particularly, to sort of grow up publicly in political punditry in front mm-hmm. of the nation. And that's what a lot of us have done, starting from our 20s, going out into our early 40s. That's a long time to be in the public eye and in commentary. And there's, you know, that's, you can chart the growth. So it's very interesting.
Right. Well, I love talking to you. You're so awesome and smart. End here with your best tip for my listeners on how they can improve their lives.
So I thought about this because you sent this out. I don't know if I mm-hmm. like tell people how the sausage
okay.
is made.
Yeah. Whatever, mm-hmm.
You sent this out and I thought, this is actually a really hard question. And I think honestly, the biggest thing that I can think of, and I wrote a whole book about this, and because I was going to go with a million different things, and I ended up coming back to this.
Plug your book, by the way. What's the book called?
Oh, yeah. Grace. I'm a horrible self-promoter. Grace Canceled. And Grace Canceled was the last book I wrote. And mm-hmm. it dropped literally the week of, like, right before the country shut down, which was crazy. So I had everything canceled. It was horrific. Don't write a book right before lockdowns happen. Don't have a lockdown. But, I was thinking of, you know, telling people, well, just, you know, be honest with, you know, what you think, and be mm-hmm. unafraid to be honest. And that's all well and good. But honestly, I think that people should just have some grace. And it's weird for me to say this because I don't want to have it. I have to talk myself into stop being, you know, such a bee. Stop it. Just be, mm-hmm. you know, but I think have grace, because sometimes, you know, people are going to mess up and nobody's perfect. And we are in an unprecedented time. I think every mm-hmm. time is unprecedented, but especially so now. And we are all just faulty beings dealing in the best way that we can. So if somebody says something that you don't necessarily maybe like all the way, or you think is, you know, have some grace, and have some grace with each other in meet space, not just digitally. But I think mm-hmm. if everybody had a little bit more grace, which also requires you to sacrifice putting yourself first, I think that goes a long way into just everybody kind of getting along a little bit better, maybe solving some of these problems we're all dealing with.
I love that. I will try to have more grace. Thank you, Dana. Thank you so much for coming on. Love talking to you.
Thank you, Carol.
Check out her show. Get her books. She's fantastic. Dana Lash. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Carol Markiewicz Show. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today.
Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.